Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group, to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. So you got my longtime friend Jack Wang with us from Longhorn Financial. Before we start, please remember Jack's on the show for informational purposes. Should never be construed as financial advice. As always, seek a qualified financial person before you make any decisions in life. Hey, Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Kevin. Always, always, always appreciated. Always great to be on with you.
I appreciate that too, bud. So let's talk a little bit about high school students today. So for families of high school students, when should families start looking? When is it too early to start thinking about college?
Yeah, you know, so I approach it really from the financial perspective. So a little bit different than what, let's say, college admissions people or admissions counselors might say. But I would say start as early as, say, freshman year or sophomore year. And, you know, and I understand that most families may not think about it till junior year or certainly senior year, obviously, when you sort of have to think about it. But the reason I say early is because I find that getting the conversation early is helpful. But also from a search perspective, I know this because I'm doing it with my 16-year-old. Going early, it's actually a little bit easier to figure out what they don't like versus what they do like. So, you know, large school versus small school, urban versus suburban versus rural. And so while it's harder for younger kids, they'll say, well, I don't know where I want to go to school because I don't know what I even want to study. That's okay. But sometimes you can get some of those things out of the way, like, oh, we toured a really big school. Definitely don't like a big school. Okay, so we take those off the list going forward, right? So that actually is kind of easy to do in the beginning versus the, you know, now you're, you know, the summer between your junior and senior year and you're only a couple months away from actually filling out the applications. You know, you don't want to wait till then to figure out, oh, by the way, I don't like a big school or, you know, or by the way, I don't really like a small school, right? You want to figure this out earlier than later. So freshman year, I mean, I know in our case, we started looking the summer between freshman year and sophomore year. And I don't think it was actually too early because we were able to kind of knock some of these things out.
But Jack, I want to bring the money piece into the game now. Now, one of the things I see is no communication between the students and the parents, where the students are looking at schools, not understanding what the parents' financial situations are, or unfortunately parents make, I'm going to call it a naive comment or a sweet comment. Jack, just work hard and we'll figure it out. And
right.
Jack works hard and now Jack gets into an Ivy League school. And we're like, Jack, we didn't want you to work that hard, bud. So the earlier you have these conversations, the better, especially when you start talking the money piece too, right? What we can and can't afford.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you hit it right on is the communications piece. And because what tends to happen in most families, right? This is the way that it typically goes is, you know, parents say to kid, hey, go figure this out with your guidance counselor, get the list, right? Go sort of find the right school that, you know, that you think you're going to be at. And then we will figure out the money piece later. And that's what always happens because most parents don't think about the money piece until, let's say, senior year when they have to fill out the financial aid form, right? The financial aid form, the practice of filling out the financial aid form forces you to think about the money. If you're waiting till then, it's far, far too late. So really, what I tell families, it's really three numbers, right? Number one, you do want to figure out what schools are going to expect you to be able to afford. That's what's called the expected family contribution or EFC. And there's EFC calculators and online that's easy to get. Okay. But you sort of have to figure out what schools expect, right? Right. That's number one. Number two is what are you able to afford, right? So schools might calculate if you're a really high income family, they might expect you to be able to afford $100,000 a year. when in reality, you know, you might end each paycheck period with 3 cents in your pocket, and that's really what you can afford, right? So what's that number for you? However you figure that out. And then lastly, the third number is what are you willing to afford, right? Because there are mechanisms for families being able to pay more than they can afford through loans, obviously. So just because you can only afford a small number doesn't really prevent you from paying a lot if you want to send your kid to a really expensive school, right? So you might be able to only afford $10,000 a year, but you can borrow $70,000 a year, right? The federal loans allow you to do that. So you know, parents want to figure out this and sort of talk to their kids about it, because you don't want to be up in the situation where you're. I run into that quite often, and I've actually had a number of those conversations recently. But you want, you know, and also just because you can borrow $70,000 doesn't necessarily mean you should borrow $70,000, right? As parents talk about, well, if your kids all jump off, you know, if your friends all jump off the cliff, you know, you should either, right? It's the same thing here. So parents do want to kind of think about that before they jump off that proverbial financial cliff.
So, Jack, you brought up guidance counselors. Now, obviously, they play a really big role in this decision. You know, hopefully that relationship with your child, they know a little bit about your child when they start suggesting schools. But, again, going back to the money piece, you know, the school may be a great fit, but without knowing, you know, where the parents' financial situations are, it seems to be maybe can be challenging. So let's talk about the role of the guidance counselor and what questions they should and shouldn't be asking.
Yeah. You have to remember the guidance counselors are there to help your student get in, right? You figure out a list of schools where they can reasonably get in. They're not there to help you pay for it. And so affordability does not factor into their work at all. And in fact, I actually had a parent challenge me on this one time. And so I said back to that parent, I said, okay, so they have your kids' grades. Yep. Okay, they have your kids' test scores. Yep. They have your kids' like recommendation letters. Yep. Okay. And I said to this parent, okay, when do you turn in your tax return to the guidance counselor? And the parent's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, that's exactly right. Is that you don't. So how would they possibly know how much you can actually afford, right? It's not, it just doesn't enter, it's not on their radar at all. And so what happens is their job is to help your kid get into school, not to help pay for it, which leads to some really weird results, because based on what we just talked about in terms of what you can really afford, right, your kid's guidance counselor and your kid might be looking at, you know, a near Ivy League school, right? You know, so let's say just below Ivy League. And you're thinking, okay, yeah, my kid might be able to get in, but I really can't afford the, you know, almost $80,000 a year. I need it to be like $10,000 a year, right? Let's say. And so you're thinking, okay, great. You know, I have to get aid or I have to get a scholarship or whatever. Guidance counselors don't think that way. So the real question for parents to ask that is separate from – that is sort of related but not what guidance counselors ask is, you know, parents want to ask, where can my kid get the most aid, not just where can my kid get in, right? Because guidance counselors answer the question, where can your kid likely get in? So those are two completely different questions and are almost unrelated. To a certain extent. So, you know, so if you don't ask that question, well, where can my kid get a lot of aid? Then as a parent, you need to be prepared that you might have to write a check or take out a loan for that almost $80,000 a year. And so a couple of conversations I've had recently, I had to explain that to the parent and they're like, oh crap. I better figure this out, you know, because that's what was happening is their kids were looking at close to Ivy Leagues, but the schools that they were looking at don't give out really very much aid.
Jack, one of the points you brought up earlier that I really liked was the difference between what you can afford and what you're willing to afford. You know, again, just because you can spend $80,000 a year on education doesn't mean that you should. What other types of common mistakes do you see families make?
It's really not understand that expectation, right? And so oftentimes I will hear, especially high achieving students from highly ranked districts or like private high school, where I tend to hear this a little bit more, and that is, hey, my kid does awesome on the SAT, gets an awesome GPA, is captain of whatever sport, and is president of XYZ club. The schools they're looking at are Ivy League or near Ivy League schools, right? And we're hoping that they're going to be able to get in. I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, but at the same time, we're hoping that they get the $70,000 a year scholarship because we're not able to afford the $80,000 a year. And I had to remind these parents, I'm like, I hope you understand that Ivy League schools do not give out merit scholarships. Or if they do, they are such a small percentage of that student body, right? And then even a lot of the schools that are just below Ivy League really don't give out merit scholarships. Or again, if they do, it's just such a small percentage. So if you're banking on your kid getting into that type of school, and you're also banking your kid to qualify for a giant merit scholarship, you need to just get out of that right now because it's not going to happen, right? Because for example, Harvard does not give out merit scholarships, period. Okay, so the whole concept of, oh, my kid got in at Harvard, and I hope he gets a merit scholarship, just does not exist, right? So you know, so parents need to sort of figure that out. So obviously that then ties back to the whole affordability question, things like that. So if you're saying, okay, what I can truly afford is $10,000 because I'm expecting this other thing to happen, and the thing isn't going to happen, then that, again, that brings us back to the, you've got to be prepared to write that $80,000 check, right? And so parents just sort of, because they focus on where can my kid get in, where can my kid get in, and they don't look at the other side of where can my kid get aid, it leads to a lot of heartbreak, obviously, and in that situation of parents being trapped like, all right, I guess I'm going to have to write that $8,000 check or take out that $8,000 loan, which isn't necessarily the best move. But that's really the biggest issue that I see with parents for most families is not thinking about the financial side as they're doing the search side.
Makes perfect sense. But, Jack, going back to that, what are some of the moves the families can make now, assuming they're planning early, that's going to help them down the road when their student is ready to go to college?
Right. Yeah. So it's totally related. And so if you're in that situation, right, where you're looking at a big bill, or even if you're not looking at a big bill, but the way to pay for it is you're going to have to borrow, right, which is pretty common, unfortunately, then some of the moves that you want to make now, for example, might be is cleaning up your credit. Right, especially if you're going to borrow using a private student loan. Those are underwritten. Those are decided upon based on your credit score and among other factors, just like a mortgage. So you can't, right? So, if you are going to borrow tomorrow, right, using that, you can't take the day before to, hey, I think I'm going to clean my credit and pay off debt because you're going to need more time, right? So you got to do this stuff in advance. And similarly, if you are going to have to borrow, regardless of what your credit score is, like you got to start thinking about, okay, well, if I need to borrow $20,000 a year or $80,000 a year, what's that monthly payment going to be? And can I even afford it then? So again, the federal loans allow you to borrow the $70,000, $80,000 a year with pretty much at the drop of a hat, but that doesn't necessarily mean you can afford to pay it back, right? So cleaning up your finances today so that you can prepare for that, right? Even if you have to borrow tomorrow, right? You got to do that sooner than later, right? So that you, as the saying, like you don't end up under the bridge.
So Jack, we got about 30 seconds left. What's your contact information before we let you run, bud?
Yep. People can always get me by email, jack@longhornfin.com, or they can visit my website, www.longhornfin.com.
Jack, I really appreciate you taking time to hop on the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
Awesome. Thanks, Kevin. Always great to be on.